Today is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, and you're listening to the World Socialist website. For a national strike to fight 20,000 more job cuts at UPS. By Tom Hall. Shipping giant United Parcel Service, UPS, announced Tuesday that it will eliminate 20,000 jobs and shut down 73 facilities in the U.S. by June as part of a sweeping cost-cutting drive laid out in its first quarter earnings report to investors. The move is the latest in a global wave of mass layoffs both within UPS and worldwide. The cuts will have devastating consequences for an already extremely exploited workforce. UPS workers are overwhelmingly young, largely part-time, with little opportunity to move up to full-time or stable positions. Many are forced to live with multiple roommates just to make ends meet. Full-timers, desperate to retain their status after job cuts, are sleeping in their cars between split shifts at some facilities. Delivery drivers face harassment from management, which still refuses to install air conditioning in vehicles. The layoffs are part of a wider social counter-revolution, spearheaded by the Trump administration. With the support of his Democratic Party enablers, who also serve Wall Street and are more afraid of the working class than fascism, Trump has cut over 100,000 federal jobs. Is imposing sweeping consumption taxes on workers in the form of tariffs, and is slashing Medicaid, food stamps, Social Security, and other key social programs. Trump is gutting regulatory agencies, installing corporate figures such as former Amazon and UPS safety executive David Keeling to lead the destruction of Occupational Health and Safety Administration, OSHA. The pick of Keeling was hailed by the Teamsters bureaucracy. More than that, the fascist-minded president is erecting a dictatorship in order to crush domestic dissent. The immediate justification for the UPS layoffs is the impact of Trump's tariffs. The tariffs are a weapon in the U.S. ruling class's drive toward world war, aimed, above all, at China and other adversaries of American capitalism. But by far the greatest concern of the ruling class is the growth of opposition in the working class in the U.S. and throughout the world. The jobs bloodbath at UPS is the next stage of this global class war. Mass layoffs begun in the federal government are now extending to broader sections of the private sector. Logistic workers are the canary in the coal mine because they're the key transmission lever for the whole economy. The Port of Los Angeles is expecting a 35% drop-off in volume next week. The domestic freight trucking is expected to plummet by late May. Within weeks and even days, layoffs will quickly spread to other industries. Every worker in America is looking at UPS layoffs and asking, "Am I next?" A line in the sand must be drawn. The layoffs must be met with mass resistance through unified action by workers at UPS, across the logistic industry, and in every sector in the U.S. and internationally. This requires a rebellion against the pro-corporate union bureaucracy and the building of the UPS Workers' Rank-and-File Committees as part of the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWA-RFC. The trade union apparatus is doing nothing to oppose the escalating assault on the working class. The AFGE, Federal Workers Union, has fired half its staff instead of mounting any effort to oppose the cuts. The Teamsters, the port unions on both coasts, and the United Auto Workers are openly backing Trump's America First policies. The Teamsters' empty posturing, claiming it will fight layoffs only if the company violates a vague pledge to create 30,000 jobs is beneath contempt. In reality, tens of thousands of jobs have already been eliminated since the Teamsters blocked a national strike and pushed through the sellout 2023 contract based on lies. Only through a rebellion to tear themselves out of the straitjacket of the sellout bureaucrats and transfer power to the shop floor can workers prepare a coordinated counteroffensive and deploy an independent strategy. Rank-and-file committees should be formed in every factory and industry to begin discussing coordinated action, up to and including a general strike. The working class cannot simply allow one section after another to be broken off and crushed. It requires the unified resistance by the whole working class. The experience with Sean O'Brien, whose 2021 election was hailed by the pseudo-left as a break with the union's corrupt past, exposes once again the lie that the bureaucracy can be reformed. Every reformer, including Sean Fain and the United Auto Workers, has only spearheaded even deeper betrayals. In contrast, the UPS Workers' Rank and File Committee consistently warned workers about O'Brien and the union bureaucracy. It opposed the sellout 2023 contract, warning it would pave the way for mass layoffs. Throughout 2024, it sounded the alarm over the network of the future job-cutting plan, holding public meetings to inform workers and organize resistance. UPS workers must mobilize against the oligarchic principle endorsed by the bureaucrats, which subordinates all decisions to the bottom line of Wall Street. The resistance of workers to mass layoffs must be combined with a broader fight against Trump and dictatorship. Key to both is the fight to overthrow the union bureaucracy, its inability and refusal to defend jobs, and its open hostility to workers, expressed in its support for Trump, show that it serves no useful purpose and should be abolished. We propose that workers concentrate around the following demands: the right to a job and a livable income. All layoffs since the ratification of the contract must be revoked with full back pay. End to part-time slavery. Full-time jobs must be available for all who want it, with fully funded pensions and health care for all. Massive wage increases to make up for decades of decline. Adjusted for inflation, a UPS warehouse worker made the equivalent of $37 per hour. Pay must be brought up to this level and indexed to real inflation. The developing movement at UPS is the opening stage of a broader struggle by the working class against capitalist exploitation. This must become a fight for the expropriation of UPS and other major corporations, Amazon, the auto giants, and beyond, to be transformed into public utilities under the democratic control of the working class. There is growing social opposition in the United States, fueled by hatred of staggering inequality, enforced by both the Democrats and the Republicans, and the escalating campaign of social reaction spearheaded by Trump and his government of oligarchs. It is critical for the working class to intervene as an independent force, through an industrial counteroffensive and a political struggle for workers' power and socialism in the U.S. and around the world. This is the subject of the online May Day rally this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, sponsored by the International Committee of the Fourth International. We call on all workers to register and attend at wsws.org/Mayday. That's wsws.org/Mayday. Liberals win Canadian federal election dominated by Trump's threat to annex the country, by Roger Jordan. Liberal Party leader and former central banker Mark Carney will continue as Canada's prime minister after his party won Monday's federal election. The Liberals have fallen three seats short of the 172 needed for a parliamentary majority. However, their continued rule is not in doubt due to the support of a much diminished New Democratic Party, or the NDP. Carney will head a vicious right-wing government that will pursue rearmament for imperialist world war, work with the European imperialist power to ensure the war with Russia and Ukraine continues, and mount brutal attacks on the social and democratic rights of workers at home to bolster the competitiveness of Canadian capitalism. His liberals are pledged to raise military spending to 2% of gross domestic product by 2030, although much of the corporate elite and national security establishment are urging a quick move to 3% or more. Even the lesser figure will entail huge attacks on social spending to cover the tens of billions in additional defense expenditure needed every single year. In early January, when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was forced from office, the Liberals were trailing the Conservative official opposition in the polls by more than 20 percentage points. However, on Monday, under Carney, they won 43.7% of the vote, an 11 percentage point increase from the 2021 election, and 169 seats, up from the 160 they captured 4 years ago. The Tories, whose far-right leader, Pierre Poilievre, failed to win his Ottawa area riding, also increased their share of the vote. They finished with close to 41.5%, an increase of 7.5 percentage points, and 144 seats, a gain of 25. Poilievre's personal fate, as well as the Tories' failure to secure the thumping victory projected only a few months ago, reflects widespread hostility in the working class to the program of oligarchic rule, dictatorship, and war represented by Trump and by Poilievre, who is widely viewed among workers and young people as the advocate of a Trump-style program for Canada. The two main parties gain ground primarily at the expense of the Social Democratic NDP, and to a lesser extent, the Bloc Québécois. Together, the Canadian ruling class's traditional parties of government secured more than 80% of the total vote for the first time since 1958. The Social Democrats suffered an historic debacle, hemorrhaging both seats and votes. They captured just 7 seats, down from 25 in 2021, a result that was decisive in the Liberal victory, and took just 6.3% of the vote, barely a third of their 17.8% share in 2021. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh resigned on election night after finishing a distant third in his Vancouver area riding of Burnaby Central. Having failed to win the required minimum of 12 seats, the Social Democrats will no longer enjoy official party status in the House of Commons. The election campaign was dominated by U.S. President Donald Trump's initiation of trade war against Canada. America's supposed free trade partner in the USMCA and his threats to use economic force to make Canada the 51st state, a demand he repeated on election day. Carney launched his election campaign by declaring that the vote was about securing Canada's continued existence as an independent state. All of the parties, supported by the trade union bureaucracy and corporate media, have responded by whipping up Canadian nationalism to corral workers behind Canadian imperialism in the trade war with the U.S. Summing this up, Singh asserted near the beginning of his resignation speech late Monday evening, "Tonight, we're all on Team Canada." End quote. Carney, in his election night victory speech, felt compelled to outline from the standpoint of the interest of Canadian imperialism that the partnership between Ottawa and Washington and the broader post-war capitalist order on which it rested have broken down. "As I've been warning for months," said Carney, "America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. These are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so America can own us. End quote. Prior to Monday's vote, both major party leaders had agreed to negotiations with Trump after the election. Remarking on his approach to talks with Trump, Carney declared, "We're once again at one of those hinge moments of history. Our old relationship with the United States, a relationship based on steadily increasing integration, is over. The system of open global trade, anchored by the United States, a system that Canada has relied on since the Second World War, a system that, while not perfect, has helped deliver prosperity for our country for decades, is over." He claimed that he would be negotiating an economic and security relationship between two sovereign nations, before adding that the talks with Trump will be conducted with our full knowledge that we have many other options than the United States to build prosperity for all Canadians. We will strengthen our relationship with reliable partners in Europe, Asia, and elsewhere. End quote. For Carney and the ruling class, the task they confront is imposing the cost of the deepest crisis of Canadian and world capitalism since World War II on the backs of the working class. The Liberal Prime Minister alluded to this when he declared, "We will need to do things previously thought impossible at speeds we haven't seen in generations." End quote. How the unions and NDP helped elect the central banker Carney and the big business liberals. Substantial sections of workers and youth voted for Carney to express their hostility to Trump, whose drive to establish a presidential dictatorship in the United States and reorder the global economy and redraw the map of the world in the interest of U.S. imperialism is deeply unpopular. The erroneous belief that, in spite of everything, the big business liberals will in some way take the interest of working people into account, in contrast to the right-wing Tories, has been cultivated by the trade unions and the NDP for years. For the past three decades, the NDP and its union backers have trumpeted the line that the only way for workers to fight the right-wing Tories is by supporting progressive parties, that is, the Liberals and NDP at elections. The trade union bureaucracy's subordination of the working class to the left parties of the capitalist establishment has gone hand in hand with their systematic suppression of the class struggle, thereby preventing workers from intervening independently into the political situation by exerting their tremendous social power to beat back the onslaught of corporate Canada on their wages, working conditions, and on the public services upon which they depend. Since late 2021, Unifor, the Canadian Labour Congress, CLC, and its member unions have sabotaged one struggle after another by workers in a major strike wave that has swept across the country and all parts of the economy. Last December, the Trudeau government was imploding with the resignation of Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland. The Canadian Union of Postal Workers, the CUPW, ran roughshod over the sentiments of rank-and-file postal workers and forced them to surrender to a patently illegal Liberal government back-to-work order. The bankruptcy of the strategy of voting progressive is laid bare by the NDP's election result. In the face of a fascist-minded President Trump in the White House, itching to take over the country, and a Trump-style demagogue at the head of the opposition Tories in Canada, the main beneficiary was a multi-millionaire former central banker and investment executive who has spent his entire adult life catering to the interest of the financial oligarchy. The Liberals, the Canadian bourgeoisie's preferred party of government, gained ground at the NDP's expense, especially in British Columbia and to a lesser extent in Ontario. What's more, the systematic smothering of worker opposition to austerity and war by the unions, and the NDP's complicity in implementing these policies through its support for progressive governments, drove some workers into the arms of the far-right Poilievre. like Trump, Poilievre was able to use a demagogic social appeal to some effect, exploiting workers' anger at the indifference of the left and liberals. In the US, the Democrats, and in Canada, the NDP supported Trudeau government, to mounting economic distress. The Conservatives won seats in traditional manufacturing areas that were previously considered NDP strongholds, like Windsor and Hamilton, Ontario, a development aided by the support of a section of the trade union bureaucracy extended to Poilievre during the election campaign. The NDP's collapse is the product of its unstinting support for the pro-war, pro-austerity Liberal government, which was given with the enthusiastic backing of the trade union bureaucracy. Since 2019, the NDP has propped up successive minority Liberal governments in Parliament. It kept the Liberals in power as they oversaw the ruling class's profit-before-lives pandemic policy, massively hiked military spending, played a leading role in the US-NATO-instigated war with Russia over Ukraine, backed Israel's genocide of the Palestinians, oversaw inflation-driven real wage cuts, and reinterpreted the labor code to arrogate the power to break strikes by government decree. Just 1 month after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, Singh struck a confidence and supply agreement with Trudeau to keep the Liberals in power until 2025 for the purpose, as Singh himself admitted, of ensuring political stability. Workers must oppose Trump and all rival factions of the Canadian bourgeoisie. Key sections of the bourgeoisie swung behind Carney, promoting him as a tested leader, because they view him as one of their own. He's considered a safe pair of hands who could reach a deal with Trump to bring Canada within a Washington-led fortress North America, so long as its role as a junior partner of U.S. imperialism is duly recognized. Despite Trump's threats, the Canadian ruling class would prefer to revive and retain its more than eight-decade-long military strategic partnership with Washington to pursue its global imperialist interests. They also consider Carney's track record as a central banker for the oligarchy as a guarantee that he will impose the cost of the capitalist crisis on the backs of workers, which he has underlined during his brief prime ministership by shifting government policy sharply to the right. In the less than 2 months since he took over from Trudeau, Carney has abandoned a proposed capital gain tax hike and pledged in the name of free trade between the provinces to abolish numerous labor regulations and other restrictions on business by Canada Day or July 1st. Nonetheless, it is a reflection of Canadian imperialism's deepening crisis that support for Carney within ruling circles is far from overwhelming. The Globe and Mail, the mouthpiece of Bay Street, endorsed Poilievre on the eve of the election as the best instrument for imposing savage austerity and gutting all regulatory restraints on capital. The Conservatives also enjoyed the staunch support of much of Canada's resource sector, especially Alberta's oil and gas barons. The breakup of Canadian imperialism's traditional alliance with Washington and Trump's threat to take over Canada have deepened long-standing regional tensions within the ruling class, which found expression in the election and could assume more malignant forms in the coming months. In Alberta and Saskatchewan, where Premier Danielle Smith and Scott Moe have been critical of the official Team Canada response to Trump and pressed for a separate deal with Washington, the Conservatives won close to two-thirds of the popular vote, and the Liberals barely more than a quarter. While the Liberals gained ground from the separatist Bloc Québécois in Quebec, the BQ still secured 22 seats and will return to Parliament as the third-largest party. Quebec Premier François Legault and his right-wing coalition Avenir Québec government, with which the BQ has declared its affinity, even though its formal provincial ally is the opposition Nationalist Parti Québécois, has issued strident demands for Quebec's interest to be recognized in any talks with Trump. Legault has also pushed for the development of new economic ties with the European imperialist powers, especially in the defense and mineral extraction industries. As these competing and contradictory interests collide, and are exacerbated by the pressure sure to be applied by Washington during negotiations between Trump and Carney, the one certainty is that the ruling class in Canada will seek to offload its crisis onto the backs of the working class. The financial oligarchy wants the evisceration of workers' democratic and social rights, the abolition of all regulatory restraints on corporate profiteering and environmental protection, the slashing of business taxes, and a massive increase in military spending to secure Canada's interest in the global redivision of the world that is well underway. Carney intends to deliver this program in close cooperation with the Liberals' trade union partners, upon whom they will continue to rely on as they did under Trudeau, to strangle opposition in the working class. As Carney put it Monday, he will be focused on bringing together labor, business, and civil society to advance the nation-building investments we need to transform our economy. End quote. No matter how the conflicts between American and Canadian imperialism and within the regional factions of the Canadian bourgeoisie play out in the immediate period ahead, the working class cannot defend its interests by lining up behind any of them. As the Socialist Equality Party emphasized in its election statement, Trump is a menace to the workers of Canada and the world. But workers can't fight him and all he represents, oligarchy, dictatorship, and imperialist war, by lining up with the Canadian bourgeoisie, any of its rival factions or political representatives. Rather, they must assert their independent class interests by forging a movement for workers' power and fighting to fuse their struggles with the mass opposition to Trump now emerging within the American working class. Canadian workers must assist their American colleagues in breaking free of the Democratic Party, which, no less than Trump's fascistic Republicans, is a party of Wall Street and the CIA and its trade union allies. The cross-border movement must spearhead the struggle for a united socialist North America. You can find all this and more at the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been Archie Stone for the World Socialist website.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.